Okay, so have you ever thought about like all the medical devices that keep us safe, like when we're sick or having surgery or, just in a hospital in general,
Absolutely.
and how those things actually get from just an idea to being used in a hospital room?
Yeah.
Today we're talking about exactly that.
Right.
We're going to be looking at the journey of a medical recirculating air cleaner,
Okay.
and this thing is pretty much like a super air purifier that is specifically made to be used in healthcare settings.
Makes sense.
And its goal is to make the air cleaner for both patients and staff
Right.
by getting rid of all those little tiny things floating around in the air that can cause infections and
Yeah,
stuff.
you don't want that,
No. All right.
especially in a hospital.
Exactly.
So this is going to be really interesting because we're looking at a business case study, and it's presented by i3C Global.
Okay. I've heard of them.
They're FDA regulatory consultants, so they really know their stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're
Because
excellent.
and it's really cool because we get to see how a medical device company actually worked with them to make the whole process of getting FDA clearance a lot smoother.
I bet that was a huge help.
It definitely was because the regulatory landscape for medical devices can be really, really complex.
Yeah, so where do they even begin with something like that?
Well, the first thing, and this is super important, is figuring out where your device fits into the FDA's rules and regulations.
Oh, so like what category it falls into?
Exactly. It's like when you're trying to organize your sock drawer and you've got like a million different types of socks.
Oh, that's the worst. And
Right.
you're like, where does this one even go?
It can be really tough.
So in the case study, they talk about identifying the correct FDA regulatory classification,
Yeah.
and they said that is like the most important first step.
It really is foundational because if you get this wrong, you're basically building your house on sand.
And it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, it's not going to end well.
So how do they figure out the right classification?
They have to do some serious research in the FDA database
Oh, wow.
to find the specific product code, the device class, and the regulation number.
So it's kind of like detective work.
Exactly.
Okay, so once they figure that out, what happens next?
Well, in this case, they decided to go with something called a pre-market notification or a 510K submission.
Okay, now I'm not super familiar with all the FDA lingo, so what exactly does that mean?
So basically, a 510K submission is all about showing that your device is substantially equivalent to another device that's already been cleared by the FDA.
So it's like saying, hey, this other thing that's already out there is really similar to what we're making.
Exactly.
So ours should be okay too.
Right. You're not reinventing the wheel. You're just saying, hey, our device is basically the same as this other one that's already been approved in terms of how it's used, how it works, and what it looks like.
Gotcha.
So you don't have to prove that it's safe and effective from scratch
That makes sense.
because the FDA has already given the thumbs up to something similar.
So how similar does it actually have to be?
It's not just like a casual resemblance.
Right, it can't just look the same.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
has to be a really rigorous comparison, and that's where those FDA guidance documents come in.
Okay, I remember those from the first step.
Right.
So are they using them again here?
Yeah, they are super important throughout the entire process because they're like the FDA's instruction manual.
Oh, so they're really detailed guidelines.
Yeah, they explain exactly what the FDA expects to see in a submission.
That makes sense because the FDA is super strict about safety and all that.
Absolutely. They want to make sure that everything's up to their standards.
Okay, so they've got the FDA rulebook and they know they need to find a similar device that's already been approved.
Right.
What's next?
Well, now they have to find that legally marketed predicate device.
Okay. And what makes one predicate device better than another?
This is where i3C Global's expertise really shines.
I bet.
They know how to navigate this whole process like pros.
Yeah, because it sounds super complicated.
It can be, but i3C Global breaks it down really well in their case study.
That's awesome.
So they talk about how substantial equivalence depends on a few things.
Okay, like what?
First, the intended use of your device has to be pretty much the same as the predicate device.
So what problem is it solving?
Exactly. Like what medical condition or need is it addressing?
Okay, that makes sense.
Then you have to look at the technology behind it, like how it actually works, and make sure that's comparable too.
The science behind it.
Yeah, the underlying principle of how it functions.
Right.
And finally, the design characteristics need to be similar too.
So it can't be like a giant machine if the predicate device is small and portable.
Exactly. It has to be in the same ballpark.
So it's not just about looking the same.
No, not at all. Is it understand the technology and how it works?
And i3C Global probably helped them a lot with figuring all of that out.
Oh, absolutely. They're the experts in this area, and they
Oh.
have a deep understanding of what the SDA is looking for.
That's super helpful.
It is. And the case study mentions that they actually used the FDA 510K database to double check their predicate selection.
Oh, so they did their homework.
They definitely didn't. They didn't want to leave any room for error.
I bet that database is huge.
It is. It's like a massive library of all the devices that have already been cleared by the FDA.
Okay, so now they have a solid comparison and they've done their research.
Right.
What happens next?
Now it's time to get into the nitty-gritty details of the medical recirculating air cleaner itself.
So they have to explain exactly how it works.
Yes, they need to document every single component.
So, like, what kind of filters it uses.
Exactly, the filters, the sensors, any
Like, here
control
we go.
systems, the main unit itself, and even the accessories like the power cables and mounting brackets.
Wow, every little detail.
Every single one.
Okay, so it's not just a list of parts.
No, they have to describe the design characteristics too, like the exact dimensions, the weight, how it operates step by step.
And what about the manufacturing process?
That's important too. They have to outline the entire process from start to finish.
And make sure it meets all the safety standards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to biocompatibility.
Because this thing is going to be used in a hospital.
Right. You don't want the materials in the device to cause any adverse reactions in patients.
No way.
So they have to provide material safety data sheets to show that everything is safe and compliant with the regulations.
Okay, so we know what it is, how it's made and how it works.
Right.
Now, what about the labeling?
That's a whole other ball game.
I bet there are a ton of regulations around that too.
Oh, yeah. The case study highlights several key labeling requirements.
Like what?
First, there's the statement of identity.
And what is that exactly?
It's the official common name of the device,
Okay.
so everyone knows exactly what they're talking about.
Makes sense.
Then there are language requirements.
Oh, right. It has to be in English.
Yes, and potentially other languages depending on where the device will be sold.
Right, because not everyone speaks English.
Exactly. And then there's basic labeling information like the manufacturer's name and their address.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
It is, you need to know who made the device and where they're located.
So if there's a problem, you know who to contact.
Exactly. And for a device that uses electricity like this air cleaner, there are specific electrical safety labels and standards that have to be followed.
Right, to make sure it's safe to use in a hospital setting.
Exactly. They have to comply with international standards like IEC 60601-12 and ISO 152231.
Okay, so safety is a big deal.
It's the top priority.
Speaking of safety, the case study mentioned that they did a bunch of testing on the air cleaner.
Oh, yeah, they put it through the ringer.
What kind of tests did they do?
Well, they did EMC AMI testing and electrical safety testing.
EMC EMI, what does that stand for?
EMC stands for electromagnetic compatibility, and EMI is electromagnetic interference.
Okay, and what do those tests check for?
They basically make sure that the device can function properly in its environment without causing any problems with other electronic equipment.
Oh, that's really important in a hospital.
It is. You don't want the air cleaner interfering with life-saving medical equipment.
Definitely not.
And they use FDA-recognized consensus standards like IEC 60601-1, IEC 60601-1, IEC TR 60601-42, and AIM 735-1731 to make sure the device meets all the requirements.
So they're not just making this stuff up.
Nope. These are established industry standards.
Yeah. Okay, so it has to play nice with all the other technology in the hospital.
Exactly.
What other tests did they do?
They also did performance bench testing.
And what's that?
That's where they really put the air cleaner to the test to see how well it actually works.
Oh, so they're testing its cleaning power.
Exactly. They tested its efficacy against particulate matter.
So they're seeing how well it filters out tiny particles from the air.
And they also tested its efficacy against microorganisms.
Like bacteria and viruses.
Exactly. Those are the things you really don't want floating around in a hospital.
That's for sure.
And they also monitored its ozone emissions.
Right, because ozone can be harmful.
Yeah, you wouldn't want an air purifier creating another air quality problem.
That would be ironic.
It would, so they had to make sure the device operated within acceptable limits.
So they basically tested everything.
They left no stone unturned.
Okay, so after all that testing and documentation, it's finally time to submit everything to the FDA.
Right, and they use the eSTAR program for that.
What is that?
It stands for Electronic Submission Template and Resource.
Okay, and what does it do?
It's basically a standardized electronic format for submitting all the documents to the FDA.
So it makes the process more organized.
Exactly. It streamlines the review process for both the manufacturer and the FDA.
Oh, that makes sense because I bet it's a ton of paperwork.
It is a lot of information to process.
Okay, so even with all this preparation, did they run into any challenges?
Oh, yeah. There are always challenges when it comes to FDA clearance.
Like what?
Well, one of the biggest challenges they faced was finding a truly suitable predicate device.
Oh, right. They needed to find that similar device that was already approved.
Exactly. And it had to be a really close match to meet the FDA's requirements for substantial equivalence.
So that was probably tricky.
It can be. Mm-hmm. And then there were the complexities of meeting all the EMC and electrical safety requirements.
Right, because those were pretty technical.
They are. And then there's the whole labeling thing, making sure everything is compliant with all the regulations and standards.
So it sounds like they had their work cut out for them.
They did, but luckily they had I3C Global to help them through it.
Oh, yeah. They were the experts they mentioned earlier.
Exactly. The case study highlights how instrumental I3C Global's FDA compliance team was in navigating these challenges.
So they were like guides through the regulatory maze.
Exactly. They provided expert advice and support throughout the entire process.
That's awesome.
It was. And they also did a lot of pre-testing to make sure everything was in order before they submitted it to the FDA.
Oh, that's a good idea to catch any problems early on.
Exactly. It's all about being proactive and minimizing the risk of delays.
So what are the big takeaways here?
The case study emphasizes a few key lessons.
Let's hear them.
First, you need to identify all the applicable regulatory requirements right from the start.
So do your research early on.
Exactly that. That way you can avoid costly revisions later.
Good advice.
Second, choosing the right predicate device is crucial.
Right, that similar device that's already been approved.
It's got to be a good match.
And third,
get yourself some expert help, like the team at I3C Global.
They sound pretty awesome.
They are. They can guide you through the whole process and make sure you're compliant with all the regulations.
So in the end, the medical recirculating air cleaner got its 510K clearance.
It did.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is. It's a great example of how meticulous planning and expert guidance can lead to success.
And it shows how much work goes into getting these devices approved.
Yeah, there's a lot that happens behind the scenes to make sure they're safe and effective for patients.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it, all the medical devices we use every day and all the people who worked hard to get them to us.
It really is. And it makes you appreciate the role of regulatory experts like I3C Global.
They're the unsung heroes of the medical device world.
They really are. So the next time you see a cool new medical device in a hospital, think about all the steps it took to get there.
And all the people who made it happen.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into the world of FDA regulations.
It has. And if you're interested in learning more, you can check out the FDA website or reach out to I3C Global directly.
They're a great resource for anyone who wants to navigate the complex world of medical device regulations.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.